We'll call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock. We'll start with the Radisson street signs. So, Tony, you want to give us an update on that?
Yeah, I thought I had copies. I can't find them. But anyway, we spoke with the Department of Transportation of the state. And basically, and I've got letters to back up what I'm telling them. Basically, they say they don't get involved in that stuff. So we're on our own. But what they did say was that they would give us someone to talk to. And the guy they gave us was a gentleman by the name of Wooden, who was the guy who wrote the manual. He's now retired, but the manual's been in place since for 20 years. And bottom line of him, after a long discussion over the phone, was they could change the color of the signs, and he didn't have any problem with that as long as they met all the other things, reflectivity and the breakaway poles and stuff, which they would have to do, you know, regardless of the color. So it's basically up to us and Radisson to say, okay, go ahead and change the color. Radisson, by the way, is paying for all this.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, they're paying to change the
And they're going to install them as well, too, themselves?
No, we installed them, but they paid for it, which is what's been going on for a long time.
So there's no ruling as far as having to use green and
basically
white?
Basically, the state says we don't even have people that talk about this.
Oh, my God.
They only deal with state roads and state signs. They don't deal with, you know, towns and stuff. Guy said, you know, we don't have the manpower to do that. We're not interested. So obviously, they're not going to check up on us and do anything because they don't have people to do that.
Okay.
And the guy that, like I say, the guy that we spoke to went through the whole thing with us. And he was a nice guy. And he's obviously very knowledgeable. He wrote the law.
So
he said, with the provisions, you can have different colors as long as you have a white background. It's got to be a white background on, or a white lettering on different colored backgrounds, one of which was brown.
And did we have to go with the bigger signs then?
No, the size of the sign doesn't change. It's the
Yes, we got it.
The size has to be by the speed of the road.
Yeah, the sign. The only thing that they can put is the signs are going to be whatever size signs they said they have to be, but
right.
But they could use the brown background, which is what they were looking for.
Oh, that's great.
My suggestion is that we sit down with Radisson and the returning. Make sure that we're all on the same page and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Make sure they're okay with it. I would like to have something from them that says, if something goes wrong, they're going to pay for it. Not
right.
Us.
No. Yeah.
I don't know what can go wrong.
Right.
What about all the ones that we have in inventory now that Jerry ordered?
They'll pay to switch them over. Okay. I already talked to them about that.
Yeah, they can just adhesive sticker.
It's
the green?
Yeah, it's just a sticker. They can heat the green off and put a new sticker on the blank.
It's become a big thing for the Radisson community, from what I understand. That they definitely want this and have been calling. And so.
Well, it's good news, but it was represented to us that we didn't even have a choice in the matter, though.
I'm sorry.
It was represented to us that we did not have a choice, that it had to be green. I mean, this is good news what you're bringing, but it's my goodness.
It's pretty clear. I think Tony will agree. If the board is willing to let Radisson say we want brown signs,
they're okay.
It's okay. The standard is green.
Yep.
I think the way it got started was Jerry started with the green and he wasn't going to change. So.
And he said it was a federal mandate that they did have to change.
Well, the law, the Uniform Traffic Devices clearly states that a change in color is only to demark change in ownership of the roads. Very clear. The language is very, the provision to change the color is supposed to be related to showing change in ownership of the road.
And we do have ownership of the road since they're town road, so.
We do. And the town standard has always been green, which is the overall standard. So, but if the state doesn't care,
I don't care.
I don't care. I mean, and if the highway superintendent doesn't care,
What I'll do is, if you want, I can make...
It's a win-win for everyone because they're paying for all the signs that are going to cost a lot of money. And if, as long as they can meet the overall.
No, they have to meet. Yeah. They have to meet the rest of the criteria.
Size, reflectivity, and breakdown.
And the brake lettering on a brown background.
That's a win-win for everyone.
And the breakdown.
I will send. I will send the letters.
Do we want to put a time, like? Gotta be retrofitted within 2 years or
that was the other thing. Whatever time frame Jerry had to do that, they and I already told Lynn Tanner this, that they would have to conform to that time frame. So he was doing X amount of signs per year, and he was going to have them done by, I can't remember the date, but it was when.
I want to say it was 3 years.
Within 3 years, they were going to be done. So within 3 years, they have to be done. That's all.
There's a lot of signs.
There's a lot of signs. That's why we give. That's why we were only doing them so many at a time, $5,000 at a time.
If anybody wants letters from either the state guy or the, I'll be happy to send them.
Well, I was just going to ask, considering what Al just said, that this Jerry was pretty much relying on the federal statutes or the federal standards. I don't want this to come around in the future where someone, for some reason, we're applying for some federal money, and you know what I'm saying. Just the worst case. If you can get a letter from the state,
I'll send you.
Got it already. Okay,
yeah, I've got it.
I don't need it, Tony. I just want to make sure it's in the town's records that we have a statement from the state that says you boys go ahead and gals go ahead and do what you want to do with the signs. We're okay with it.
I'll email it to you.
I don't really need it. I believe you. I just want to have it in our records.
Well, what we'll do is any correspondences we have probably should go to. Dina. So Dina can have a folder.
Throw it in the file someplace.
Good. Keep that.
Great.
And so, if you want to sit down with them, they'll be all happy with that. And then
I'll tell their attorney that we'd like to sit down with them quick, half hour discussion.
Because what I also told her, because they're town signs, but what they could do is, because we have an agreement with, Jerry gets them done through the town of Clay, because they have their own thing, so we can get them at a better price through our sign, as long as they reimburse us for them, then, we could order them for, and then they just reimburse the town.
Yeah, okay. I'll call him and set something up next week, maybe, for the three of us to sit down.
So we're all good with that? Pendergast Sanitary.
Okay, so David Pendergast came into my office last week, and he owns Pendergast Cemetery. It's a family-owned cemetery on River Road in Phoenix, and he's basically asking the town to take over the cemetery. He says he's getting older, and he'd like to retire, and he just can't care for it anymore. So I asked him a couple questions about it, and it's 1.1 acres, 101 headstones, and I think he said four monuments. They do have a caretaker, but Mr. Pendergast does all the mowing and trimming. It takes him about 2.5 hours, and the cemetery is run by donations. So I called the New York State Association of Cemeteries, and I said, here's what this person's proposing. He's the last of the family who's available to take care of it. What are we obligated to do, or what can we do? Because towns can take over abandoned cemeteries, obviously. I don't know if a cemetery, was ever given to the town or deeded over to the town. I mean, Chase Cemetery has been around forever, so I'm not sure how that whole thing took place. I mean, I could probably talk to the historian and ask her, but the thing that I sort of had the issue with is we take care of Chase now, and mowing and trimming on that is very expensive. So, and we also, in our budget, give $20,000 to other cemeteries in the town for their caretaking as well.
20 or 10?
I have a sheet that says current year budget,
$20,500. Oh, okay.
So, I don't want to see the cemetery go into abandonment, but if we did take over the cemetery, what we could do is turn it into a public cemetery, and then we could have public burials there.
Is it an active cemetery right now? Where
just for family, yes.
Just for family?
Yeah.
How many plots are left?
He's doing a count, so there are several left.
there's a problem with privately owned as far as the law is concerned. We can regulate privately owned from the zoning standpoint. We do not have to accept a privately owned cemetery. If there's a cemetery that's owned by a not-for-profit corporation and they abandon it, we're stuck with it. We have no choice. Not the same with privately owned. So if we were to buy the property, A, I'd be concerned about the abstract of title to make sure that the property is free and clear. I don't know who else may have had a judgment or whatever. And I was told by a gentleman by the name of Steve Sloan, who runs Woodlawn Cemetery, who is the expert in this area. And Steve said, if you take it over in any way, you have to fence it off so that people can't just walk on the property and say, hey, I want to visit my, you know, my cousin. It's a whole different thing because it's privately owned. And that little blurb that Dina got basically says, don't bury your grandmother in your yard. It's not the right thing to do.
Which is what they're doing.
Did he try to sell it at all?
Oh, no. He just wants to give it to the town, yeah. Give it over to the town.
He wants to walk away from the application. And, you know, I understand, but, you know, it puts us in a position where if we take it, we have to worry about the next guy that comes along and says, I want to go in that cemetery. We're not going to run the cemetery. Mm-hmm. So, and whether we could get a not-for-profit to take it, I'd be surprised because they can't take care of the ones they've got now. So, I don't know whether we need to have a little more discussion with him. I don't know if the, I don't know.
Is it a separate deed parcel or is it a subdivision required?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to ask that question. I don't know if the cemetery's been subdivided from the rest of the parcel.
Yeah, I asked him that. He said it's on my property, but it's a separate deed.
Yeah, so, well, I don't know if that. I don't know what that means.
So would we, so say he just stops taking care of it, so and it becomes an abandoned cemetery. So the town would have an obligation to mow it, not even like twice a year.
We would have zero obligation.
We only have an obligation to those cemeteries that are owned by not-for-profit corporations or cemetery associations and all that, which we're, you know, we kind of are doing now. But if it's privately owned, we have no obligation.
So what are his options?
I don't know how he fixes it unless he can give it to an organization that's a cemetery organization.
Or file a 501c3 on his own.
He could file a not-for-profit corporation and then try to do it that way.
How did we end up with the will plot then?
I didn't hear it.
How did we end up with the Willett plot on River Road?
I haven't spoken to him at all, so I don't know.
No, but I mean, tell him highway guys mow the Willett plot.
There's the one on Hillside, too. That's a family one. It appears to be a family one. I don't know the answer.
I don't know. I didn't know that we were doing it.
We'd have to ask the historian and see if we could come up with how we ended up with these.
Horton Town Cemetery, I don't know if that was ever.
Well,
we
just made a sign for it.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a cemetery of more than one family.
Nobody. And Babcock, too. Because that was one that Gene used to care for.
Yeah. Isn't there a lot? Do you know cemetery lot? After 100 years, no one's been buried there. You can do whatever you want with that land.
What, dig up grandma and stuff?
I thought there was a law after so many years.
Not that I'm aware of.
100 years, you can do whatever you want with that land.
What should I tell him?
So it sounds like we have to do a little more research. We need to know how we wound up with these other cemeteries in the first place. Well, you're saying we don't have any obligation.
If it's privately owned.
If we don't have any obligation, he probably should just contact an attorney and figure it out. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants to form a not-for-profit corporation to run the cemetery, he can do that. And then at that point in time, if he abandons it, then we're going to be stuck with it. But it's not to sell it to us; he has to abandon it. I mean, it's the intricacies of the law. But
then I think we'd have to do. Do we have to do a referendum if we take over the cemetery?
No.
We have to do a resolution.
Yeah, you got to do a resolution.
And then, isn't it if it costs a certain amount to care for it per year or something, you have to do something special.
We would have to spell it, if we were to take over this thing, even by a purchase, we'd have to spell all that out in the resolution and spell out what happens to a future person that comes in and says, I want to buy a plot.
You know, for what it's worth, Roman and I are the only board members here that were directly involved in the negotiations with the other cemeteries, and I don't have my notes in front of me, and I don't know how it went from 10,000 to 20,000, but I guess it did. But just for your background, the other cemeteries, and I can't recall which ones were involved in that, they're all, you know, hanging on by the seat of their pants, so to speak, you know, financially on by a thread. And we were faced with this. This is going on 7 years.
These are the other cemeteries. And that's the budget line.
We made a proposal, the town board made a proposal to these folks as a group. What if we put up, and at that time it was $10,500, I think it was, and just to help you along, and Bob Ellis was the one that really did a good job of interfacing with them on an as-needed basis. So, you know, Cold Springs, Jacksonville, Plainville, those were all the cemeteries that were benefiting by that. I'm not proposing anything. I think we should stay away from this one, at least initially. But I'm amazed that in all of that conversation that Willett, Hillsdale, Hortontown, and Babcock did not come up for part of the conversation.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Anyway, that's why we spend, and I don't know what year it went from 10 to 20, maybe it was this past year, and that's fine, but that's what's keeping these cemeteries off the town of Lysander's rolls, because the last thing we want is to own these cemeteries and be responsible for them. We want the not-for-profits to stay in business. Anyway, that was the background.
Did you say he's paying taxes on this property?
I don't know.
Budget money.
He couldn't come tonight. He's a village trustee.
Yeah, I guess we lose it.
But he's a village meeting tonight.
2019, it was 20. I thought it was 10.
Call me or call him.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how that
come
happened.
Over here and meet me.
I can't believe I missed it.
Questions? And,
yeah, okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
But for our purposes tonight, we need more information. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
You need these, Dean.
Yes,
so I think it's not on the work session agenda, but I think that there were still some questions about the part-time position that we were talking about, the parks and highway position. You want to go over that?
Well, that's what you had.
Yeah,
I had asked you about that because the last I thought was at the last meeting we were leaving it, we were going to wait on the vote with the union contract, and then put it up for vote the next meeting after that.
Okay.
So in my understanding,
I got a couple more emails that, between them. So
the vote hasn't happened.
Right.
The union contract.
No, it's, we're going to talk about that. We have to have an executive session tonight to talk about that. The contract, so you know, I'm anticipating that you know, we should be able to take care of that fairly shortly, that contract. So are we good with moving forward with that, or do we need to have some more discussion? I know we talked about it earlier, but
the position.
Yeah.
The only thing I just wanted to clarify was the union, whether this position was an at-will position or whether it was, you know, what role will the union play in this particular position, Tony?
The secretary?
Yep.
To the superintendent?
Yes.
But it's not that title, right? We're not using that title?
The
secretary.
That's what you talk about?
Yes, we are.
We are using secretary to the highway
superintendent. Okay, by definition. Explain the position by definition, just so that
should be an at-will employee.
It's an exempt title. The only thing that she would have from the union would be
benefits if she needed them.
And we discussed it with the union during our negotiations. If that was acceptable to them, they said yes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's fine.
So maybe there must have been more conversation. So last I was aware, the title was going to just be a regular secretary position that would fall under civil service. That way, God forbid in the future, if there was a difference of opinion between the highway superintendent and the parks director, the highway superintendent just couldn't fire the secretary that the parks director was using.
The highway superintendent can't fire her regardless anyways because the town board has the final say.
But if it's a...
When he did it the last time, it was improper. And he knows that as well.
And now we know that, which is equally important.
But if that person serves at the pleasure of the highway superintendent, I know we make the final...
He doesn't serve at the pleasure of the highway superintendent. He serves at the pleasure of the town board. He's an at-will employee.
Is there a... Maybe this would be an executive session conversation regarding the actual position then, if it falls within the union.
Actually, it's not an executive.
Okay.
We're being told, and I'm perfectly happy to hear that it's a management confidential exempt non-union position. That's what it should be.
Right. I guess.
I don't know if that's the case, Tony.
That's the case.
Okay.
Yeah, that's. I'm certain that's the case. You can have someone be part of a union, and then they could still be an at-will employee.
Yeah, at-will employee, yes. But it's not a management confidential employee, I don't think. It qualifies as a...
Okay.
Then maybe I'm confused on it. Is that the case, Tony?
I don't think we ever discussed it.
Yeah,
it's just an at-will employee.
Right. It's just an at-will employee.
We're not calling her a manager.
Bob is calling her a manager.
No,
it's just an employee like any other secretary. She just happens to be in... The difference between that and the secretary over here is that she's in the union for benefits only.
I caution everybody, including you, Tony, to watch the words you're using, because my familiarity with unions and titles is that you are either a management confidential exempt employee or you are part of the union. And if you're part of the union cannot say... with specificity that person is in that will, we're not going to protect them unless you can get that in writing from the Teamsters. I'm not comfortable with what I'm hearing right now.
We discussed that with the Teamsters.
I hear you.
And that's what they said. So
it's got to be in writing. I have never heard what you're saying in all the years that I've worked where there's an at-will employee that's a member of a union and the union doesn't come to that person's defense if you choose to use the at-will termination. And secretaries, executive secretaries or secretaries of this type, I'm sorry for monkeying up the works here, they are management confidential positions. And if you talk to Beth in personnel, and what's his name, to her boss, they will say, yes, these are management confidential positions. The list that you got, those are management confidential positions.
Dina's appointment is in union, and she is an at-will employee.
What do you mean, her appointment? She's not going to be in the union.
I have a part-timer who's not in the union.
But if she was a full-timer, she would have been an at-will employee in union.
Not in the future. What happened in the past will never happen again if they belong to the union. Just mark my words. It'll never happen again unless you get the Teamsters to do something that they have never done. It's either this or it's that. And whether they're going to extend the privilege of participating in buying health insurance, and that's curious and that's interesting and that's great, that has nothing to do with the classification of the employee. And we better be careful here because we get one shot at this.
Well, it spells it out in the highway law that the highway superintendent can appoint a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the law.
Right.
That's spelled out in the law.
Then our new union, Bob, cannot say, but we want that position in the union. It's either or.
They're not saying that.
Okay.
We asked them if they would accept her for the benefits.
Yeah.
She didn't. They didn't say we want her.
But you, okay, look, if it's in writing, clear as a bell, then I will personally be happy, and I hope the town is satisfied. But the law is good, Bob, but what this new union, or not, or the people that are in the new union want something, I think, contrary to what the law is saying. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not Pete Traiano, but I think it's a perfect question for a Pete Traiano or a Beth, and I thought we had asked them that question. You know, is what do you know about this?
What is the reason the town board decided to use the other title? Because I was under the impression we were just using a regular secretarial title. Is it because of the union?
No. There's a list of management confidential secretarial titles.
Right.
And this is one of them.
Right. I thought that there was a list of titles that we discussed.
It's the title that she's already in, and it's already an exempt title.
Yeah.
Okay. That came from Beth Mortis. She already said that.
So if it's already an exempt title, then it's already exempt. But you're saying she is still, or someone is saying here, Tony, even though it's an exempt title, this person is still allowed to utilize the union for benefit purposes?
Only.
You get that in a side agreement in writing, and then I'll be satisfied. But okay, that's all.
We will.
All right. Great.
Well, it is a good point to make sure that happens before we find ourselves in a situation where we have no recourse for whatever.
Well, we got to talk about the contract. I got to give you an update on that later anyway, so we can talk about it for whatever language we want in there.
And I don't want to labor the point. I don't have a problem with this, and I'm okay with supporting the secretary position as is. But as it's been discussed, the highway superintendent can't appoint somebody. So this woman is already, this individual has already been appointed to the position. But another highway superintendent comes in and says, I want to appoint somebody different. The town board doesn't have to accept that appointment. I understand that. But what kind of environment then are we going to be having in the highway department when there's constant friction between somebody who the highway superintendent might not want and another department that we have? So, just something that I'm worried about, you know, is it could be a lot of conflict between a new highway superintendent and another department. So,
you know, I don't know if I am fearful as much about that, Roman. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Department heads in Onondaga County could hire whoever they wanted as their executive secretary. Not a single one of them would have terminated any of those people without first talking to the county executive. There are things, and I think what I'm hearing from Jeff and Bob is whoever the new highway superintendent is, because there's going to be a new one, will be given a set of brains that this is how it's going to operate here. You know, we control your budget. We basically, and you're not going to make moves like this without board approval. Take it or leave it. And I think that's very appropriate.
And even to take it a step further, is the supervisor can hire his own secretary and appoint his own secretary. Nancy's still here. Through how many supervisors?
I'm not saying that there's a next supervisor, or highway superintendent is going to do something, but there's been a lot of conflict and turmoil in the highway department since I've been in office. More conflict and turmoil than the position of the town supervisor. So, you know, I'm just looking at the future, and I'm looking at the past, and I just want everybody to be aware of something. I won't be here next year, so I just wanted to have the conversation.
The person that's in the position now can't be fired by the town highway superintendent. Period. So the new guy comes in, she's still there. And the only way she's going to be terminated is by the town board.
So then, if that were to happen, then the highway superintendent at that point makes a recommendation for a secretary?
Yep, and then we would town board would have to approve.
Yep.
Answers my question.
Okay.
So I have.
You good?
So,
hey, I got to have a word with you again about resolution C.
Okay.
Or not C, B.
Sorry. Oh, you had to.
I got
yeah.
B and C we can talk about. We'll talk about
yeah.
B first.
Yeah.
We actually have Mr. Brandon.
Yeah, we got to change the name, right?
We have
the
Mr. Brandon Munson yeah. here. Who was the low bidder for the stormwater and pond maintenance contract. Mr. Munson would like to withdraw his bid due to work conditions and misunderstanding of what is required for prevailing wage and supplemental benefits package. At this point in time, you know, no hard feelings to Mr. Munson. If you haven't done public works projects, prevailing wage can be rather daunting. It's my understanding this is the first time he's bid on prevailing wage projects. I would recommend we...
Just a new one.
This is the same one. Yes, same one. I didn't realize Dina had already emailed out. I would recommend we change resolution B to award the contract to Distinguished Landscapes, which is the second lowest bid, in the amount of $39,000.
$39,000.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Anybody have any questions on that?
Another $10,000.
Well, I mean,
there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
This guy didn't have any workers' comp insurance.
No, it's our key. That's why I showed up. I wanted to apologize. I didn't have that. That part wasn't a problem yet. I had somebody else who was allergic to poison ivy, so not knowing it was that infested, not being able to see the project beforehand, not having pictures.
That's fine.
Prevailing
oh, no, that's fine, yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah, so, you know, not understanding prevailing wage, I understood the wage part, but I understand the additional supplement benefits, which then jacked it up. And I knew I couldn't say, hey, add another $7,700 to it, and I still have no problem with it. I get this too late. So I just,
once you see the, yeah, the pictures.
That's right, and that's why I said, I get that. I ran through the calculation to see what the difference was between, you know, 2355 or whatever it was, and then figure out that and the Airbnb for stuff.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in.
I know, but I still want to come formally apologize.
I do want to exclude you from bidding on other projects.
No,
we
not at all.
Workers' comp and stuff, not at all. We understand okay. The prevailing wage stuff is, you haven't seen it before, it's complicated.
Yeah, it comes out easily.
Yeah, I mean,
like I get it
now. And poison ivy's no fun.
Sometimes you learn the hard way, right?
Poison ivy, snakes, and turtles.
Snakes and stuff don't bother me. You know? Poison ivy, I knew I was going to itch, but I had someone else who couldn't do it, and I'm like, and of course, not hire somebody nowadays is,
yeah,
you know, it's fun right now. So.
Yeah, right.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
What was with motion C? What?
I just wanted to explain that to the board. So I had put in the contract for the asbestos abatement.
Yeah.
That air monitoring responsibilities were the responsibility of the contractor. So by Department of Labor law, they are only allowed to, the abatement contractor is only allowed to provide personal air monitoring equipment. But air sampling prior to the contractor coming in and air sampling after the contractor is done and air monitoring during abatement must be completed by a third party. That cannot be paid by the abatement contractor. So we reached out to Churchill Environmental, who's done work for us in the past. They gave us a quote of $465 per day for the air monitoring and then the background samples that is shown in the listing there. I don't anticipate this being more than 2 days for the actual abatement. I put $2,500 in here. I think it was more than enough to cover it, but I wanted to have a little bit of cushion. And you know, it's just a Department of Labor law that I was unaware of, and I want to make sure that we're in compliance. So, it's professional services. We don't need to get multiple quotes. Actually, I talked to two different asbestos abatement contractors when I had questions about this, and they both recommended Churchill. So I'm comfortable with them, and we've used them in the past.
That's great.
Good.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Okay. If we're all good, we'll close the work session at 6:35.
Do you want to use the time for an executive session now? Or did I take too long?